You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Hey there, this is John Bush with the Live Free Now show, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. And today we're going to be talking about the last part of that little intro. Today we're going to be joined by Tony Farmer of TonysHealthTips.com to talk about health freedom, natural health, COVID-19, all this good stuff. We're going to talk about how the government is involved in a conspiracy to keep you from access to your own health choices. And it's only really been exacerbated with all the COVID stuff. So we got an in-studio interview. I want to throw a plug real quick for our sponsor here, freeounceofkratom.com. You can try an ounce. You just pay $5 shipping and handling. Helps with stress, anxiety, chronic pain. A lot of people use to overcome addiction and dependency. If you're watching on the Conscious Resistance, go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com, bros.freeounceofkratom.com. There's a link down below. And if you're watching on my wall, I didn't put the link because Facebook censors it. It's so good. The government doesn't want you to try it. So check out freeounceofkratom.com. But without further ado, Tony, how you doing?
Doing really well. How you doing, John?
Cool. I'm good. Good. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's just start with your journey into natural health. Unless you're really lucky to have hippie parents. I guess my kids will have that privilege of natural health 100%. Where did you get your start in this whole world of natural health and health freedom?
I always tell people the best thing that ever happened to me is I had severe acne when I was a kid. Okay. So I went on Accutane, which is a really powerful Western medicine. Mm-hmm. Very powerful, really harmful for the liver. There's warnings. Don't take it if you're pregnant. It's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And it actually did help my skin the first time around, mm-hmm. right? Long story short, second time around, my skin got way worse. So mm-hmm. I go back to my doctor and I'm like, hey, man, I want some more of this Accutane stuff. It worked for me last time. And he says, sure, no problem. He writes me the prescription. Mm-hmm. And I go to get it filled. And the best thing, John, that ever could have happened to me, I couldn't afford the prescription this okay. time around. So just out of desperation, I start researching alternative remedies for acne. And uh-huh. I start finding all this information that like food and your diet can impact your skin. And
who would have thought?
There's this stuff out there called dandelion root, which is literally the root of the dandelion plant okay. that if you take it in capsule form or tea form can help your skin. Mm-hmm. And I said, no way. Mm-hmm. $13 a bottle, though. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
$13 a bottle, dandelion root. Let's see what happens. And my skin got better so quickly from that dandelion root.
Wow.
And at that point, something exploded in my mind where I said, wait a second. When I was on Accutane, I actually, John, had to get blood work done to make sure it wasn't ruining my liver.
Wow.
Every month. So the Western medicine approach was saying, hey, the liver is your problem. We're going to destroy your liver further, but give you the illusion that you're getting healthier, Tony.
Wow.
And it does work because my skin got better, right? Uh-huh. Whereas the Eastern medicine approach with the herbs was like, hey, Tony, your liver's messed up. Therefore, we're going to give you this herb that helps your liver. Therefore, your skin will get better.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I started kind of being attracted to that sort of ideology and a little bit more skeptical of Western medicine.
Right on. Yeah, that's a great intro. A lot of people have that kind of eureka when they just see that there's alternatives. There's natural stuff that's more in line with our body system. My ex-wife, actually, she had some acne issue, and she was taking Accutane as well, and we stopped taking it. She stopped taking it, but we were both like, whoa, when she wiped her face off and it bleached the towel, and then we're like, because there's a cream, too, and it's also a pill, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we went to our naturopath, and he's like, hey, you just should stop eating cheese, because the casein in the cheese. So she stopped eating cheese, and voila, the acne went away. So there's a lot of people that don't ever even think about the holistic view, right?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing in medicine. One thing I appreciate about you is it's not just giving people tips, but you're also engaged in health freedom activism. And I was kind of following along with some of the work that you did. I know that you had some meetings and stuff, and we did a screening of a DVD with this Dr. Brzezinski guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about some of the activism that you did here in Texas? Specifically, this guy Brzezinski had this cancer treatment, and the Texas Medical Board, rather than applauding him, was trying to shut him down. What was that all about?
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you want a little bit more information, if you want to Google Austin Fit Magazine, the September 2016 issue. I wrote a big expose about it. But long story short, yeah, Dr. Stanislav Brzezinski in Houston has been curing people of cancer without radiation, without chemotherapy for over 30 years. I've met a lot of his cured patients. I mean, the stories are absolutely unbelievable. You can YouTube tons of testimony of his patients in front of Congress, of his patients in front of medical board agencies, et cetera. Really, really riveting information. But yeah, long story short, both the FDA and Texas Medical Board for the last 30 years have been fighting him, essentially trying to get his license revoked. So to answer your question about some of the activism that I've done, this most recent time around, a couple of years ago, they were trying to get his license revoked again. I did some lobbying at the Capitol with a lot of his patients, and we did a week of protests outside the Texas Medical Board. And then we packed that room full of concerned citizens. We had a state representative from the Capitol come down as well. Ty Bollinger from The Truth About Cancer was there. We had a couple different documentary filmmakers there. And basically, we had some eyes on the Texas Medical Board. Yeah. And I think the message we were sending was, don't try anything stupid. We're watching you. And there was a very positive outcome. He kind of got a slap on the wrist, went on probation, et cetera. He got to keep his medical board license. But the big deal about this is, think about this for a second. He has cancer patients who have been told, go home and die. Chemo can't work for you. Radiation can't work for you. You're too far gone. Just go home and die. Get your affairs in order. Man. And then his patients started seeing success on his treatment. Mm-hmm. You can see their friggin' tumor shrinking.
Wow.
So if his license had been revoked at that point, mm-hmm. you were literally taking away the last hope of several cancer patients. And so that's the message that we were trying to get out there. It's really a shame the grip and the power that not just the Texas Medical Board, but all these state medical board licensing boards have over these doctors.
Yeah. The public health stuff is the whole public health institution. It, when you really take a critical look at it, you kind of see that it's not like the FDA, especially, it's not about protecting your health. It's about protecting the medical industrial complex, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, preserving the status quo. And it's so evident in stories like that. So does he still have his medical license?
He does still have his medical license. He's practicing. He's actually got multiple cancer cures. It's absolutely fascinating.
He's still doing the same
treatment. It's called anti-neoplastins. He's actually gone through, by the way, this is really exciting. He's gone through phase two of FDA clinical trials. Mm-hmm. A lot of these cures out here, a lot of them that I believe in, Hoxie, Gerson, a lot of these alternative cancer cures, they're not pharmaceutical drugs. His is actually a pharmaceutical drug. And so mm-hmm. he's going through the process the way that he's supposed to, according to Western medicine. And he's gone through successfully phase one and phase two FDA clinical trials. He's got one phase left.
Wow.
So we literally may be really close to a cancer cure.
Wow.
But the FDA and the Texas Medical Board seemingly do not want this to take place.
Man. Just like with the hydroxychloroquine, which we can talk about a little bit, I want to get into COVID. A lot of times it's like when people are so sick that they're on the verge of dying, why the hell not give them a treatment, even if it's experimental? And Trump, you know, I think he's a piece of work. He did recently, I think, pass some sort of executive orders or have some legislation passed that he signed that allows for the experimental stuff when it's towards this end of life. I'm not well versed on that, but I know that. He's at least shaking things
up. Referring to.
Yeah,
man.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It really is. The right to try stuff is important for health freedom, for sure.
Well, let's turn people onto your website here. Before we get deeper into the COVID stuff, you have this new website you just launched, tonyshealthtips.com. That's you right there. That's a good-looking guy right there. Look at that. And so, yeah, it's a great site. You do some coaching. Why don't you tell us about the coaching? And then,
So I do remote coaching. Kind of my specialty is helping people lose weight and helping people get off medications. The most popular part of my website is the health tips in the upper right-hand corner. I try to launch about 10 or 15 health tips every week, ranging from fitness-related things, ranging from scientific data on different supplements, but really focusing on the ingredients in our food. My general philosophy is that the overwhelming majority of dis-ease and discomfort in our society comes from toxicity and deficiency. Okay. We either have too much of something in our body or we don't have enough of something in our body, mm-hmm. right? So you get a cold, maybe you didn't have enough vitamin C. You get cancer, maybe you had too much radiation, maybe you had too much of a carcinogen in your body.
Okay.
You're lacking iron. You're going to have a disease because of that. You're lacking any sort of nutrients or mineral. Something bad is going to happen. Or you have too much of something in your body.
Okay.
Too much aluminum, too much carcinogen. You're going to have negative consequences. So what I try to do is give people enough information so that they can remove toxins from their body and also put good nourishing, replenishing minerals, nutrients into their body as well. And lo and behold, when we do that, people live thriving lifestyles where they don't get sick as often. They live to be long ages, et cetera. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, the human body is a miraculous, amazing machine that's gone through the course of evolution for quite some time now. And when we have the proper nutrition and when we're void of all these toxins, like you said, our body heals itself.
Bam.
Or dis-ease never comes along in the first place. We're just in a good spot. And of course, there's a bunch of studies that came out showing that people have far worse outcomes from COVID when they're vitamin D deficient, right?
Yep.
Meanwhile, government's forcing everyone to stay inside.
Don't get me started on that, John.
Man. Well, before we let you go, we're going to go over some of the tips on the website. There
Sweet.
Are a few that really caught our eye earlier when we were checking it out. But let's talk about COVID. Why don't you just give us a overview of what your take is on it. I know that a lot of people are coming from different places. Some people think it's a total hoax. Some people recognize it's a virus, but it's overblown. And there's talk of germ theory, and then people are thinking that it's people that were already in a bad health state, and when COVID came into the mix, it caused that dis-ease.
Yep.
So what's your overall take? Maybe just give us a nice little commanding view.
Yeah, like you said, man, a lot of different theories out there. I do believe the virus exists. I do believe that people are dying because of the virus. I do believe that we should all be taking precautions to keep ourselves healthy in this crazy time right now. I also believe that the source of information that most Americans get on this subject, the CDC especially, the FDA to a less extent, and of course the media, this source of information they've been lying to us. They've been caught, and I can give examples if you want. They've been caught red-handed lying to us over the years. They have made mistakes over the years that have cost people their life. Vioxx in the FDA's case, trans fat in the FDA's case, Lyme disease in the CDC's case. I mean, these are huge mistakes
that
they have made. We could do a whole show on that, I bet. But these are mistakes that our government has made over and over. So it kind of blows my mind when I see people in conversations like this and on social media constantly give the benefit of the doubt to this same government. And I always say, if you are in a relationship with a friend or loved one, family member, spouse, and they constantly lied to you, proven over and over and over, and then they harmed you over and over and over, I believe at some point you'd stop trusting them and you'd stop believing them, and you'd say, that's not a credible person. When they tell me something, I'm going to be skeptical and suspicious of it.
Yeah.
But yet our government has this track record, and we still look to them, the CDC, as this holy grail of information. So to go back to answering your question, the virus exists. A lot of the numbers that we're getting and the advice that we're getting about how to deal with this virus come from a source that we should be skeptical of, and we should realize their track record, and they have not always had our best interest at heart. And one example real quickly that I like to give, because people will often say, when they make mistakes on COVID, when they report the data wrong, when they change their mind, masks are good, no masks aren't good, it's because science is constantly changing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what people say.
That's a classic.
There's some truth to that. Okay.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But one example that I love to give that I think shatters that argument completely is partially hydrogenated oil. It's going to seem off subject for a second, but bear with me. I'll loop it back in. Okay. So 2013, the FDA says, you know what? This is probably unsafe. Okay. They made a preliminary finding that it's not generally recognized as safe. Okay. 2015, finally, they say, okay, this stuff's definitely bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can Google this. This is FDA.gov information. It's definitely bad. We agree, finally, this stuff is harming people big time. So we're going to give food companies 3 years to get it out of the food supply. Wait, what? I thought you said it was really bad and it was harming people. So you're going to give people 3 years till 2018. Then 2018 rolls around and the government says, let's give them one more year. Let's grant them an extension, because these poor food companies, you know, we got to give them time to get it out of their supply, right? Then in 2019, they have an exemption where companies can apply to have special circumstances where they can keep using this company. So in other words, this chemical that they admit has been proven, the science has settled, proven harmful since 2015, is now staying in our food supply for 6 additional years.
Wow.
So this is not the government, this is not science taking a long time. This is a clear example of science, of the government choosing the convenience of the food industry over our health.
Wow.
They're making a conscious decision to say, you know what, this is more important to us. Going easy on the food companies and giving them these exemptions. And that's why this is in our diet for 6 additional years when we know it's harmful, in their own words.
Wow.
Not because science is slow, but because the government is making choices that put us last and put food companies first. So going back to the whole COVID thing, it's important to have that perspective in mind when we keep constantly see this data changing.
Yeah.
It's not always because science takes a long time and science changes and studies are coming out. Sometimes it's because the government is corrupt.
Yeah, big time. More often than not, it's because the government is corrupt. And I think a lot of people, because someone is in a public health position, there's so many, a good chunk of the public that feels they must be looking out for our best interests. But we all have to recognize that everyone is corruptible. Doctors are corruptible. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's lots of scandals where doctors are getting bribes to push opioids or to push pharmaceuticals. And even if it's not a direct bribe, like a shadowy backdoor deal, which does happen, it's like, we're going to let you use this nice car. We're going to give these plane tickets if you market and promote our stuff. And I think people really need to snap out of that. And as you were talking about the partially hydrogenated oils, so I'm an anarchist, and I don't believe there ought to be an FDA in the first place. This is especially the case because the revolving door, and many people are aware that the regulators in the FDA are former executives in the pharmaceutical industry or the food industry when it comes to the USDA. And it's a revolving door, and they switch in between the private and the public sector, and they're always benefiting
themselves. New jobs
themselves.
Every couple of years,
So we can't have faith in that institution in general. But the cool thing about anarchism is it's like, well, what are we going to do if the government isn't there to protect us, which is a farce in itself. But it's like, well, that's why we have websites like yours, and we have consumer advocacy groups, and it's up to our personal responsibility as free, independent human beings that are critically thinking to do the research on our own and to avoid partially hydrogenated oils and to really pay attention to the labels, which I know is one of your big shticks, to avoid the high fructose corn syrup, to avoid the genetically modified organisms. Just wanted to throw that bit out there. As an anarchist, the conversation often comes up, and there's people that are in the natural health world that want to have GMO labeling, stuff like that. I still lean back on my libertarian purity and say, well, the market will provide. And sure enough, we have non-GMO project and such. But that's a great service that you're doing as well with these educational type websites like tonyshealthtips.com. So people that are maybe uncertain or unsure about stuff, they can go learn about what to avoid. You even go to the grocery store.
I've got a lot of videos in the grocery store. We call these videos "Buy This, Not That." And you know, I'll pull up a jar of peanut butter off the shelf and say, you should buy this one, not this one. And here's why. These are what the ingredients are. These are what the ingredients do.
It's crazy what's in this food. Even stuff that's passed off as natural is so terrible.
Yeah. It's really a shame. It's food like substances that you see in the grocery store. It's not really food anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to the COVID stuff. So
John, if you don't mind, you mentioned public health officials. I want to share real quick a quote from my favorite public health official, if you don't mind.
This Tony? Is another Tony?
No. This is a former public health official.
Okay.
And if you got a pen out there and you guys want to write this down, Dr. Herbert Ley, former FDA commissioner. This is my favorite quote of all time.
All right.
And Dr. Ley, after he left the FDA, and listen to this carefully, he says, this is in the New York Times, by the way. The thing that bothers me about the FDA is people think that the FDA is helping them and keeping them safe, and it's not. What the FDA is doing and what people think the FDA is doing is as different as night and day. This is the top guy at the FDA. This isn't a secretary. This is the number one guy at the FDA coming out after he left his post, bashing his former employer, saying, these guys are not keeping you safe.
Man.
So this isn't my idea that the FDA is corrupt and harming us. The FDA's own former top guy has said this as well.
Wow. I know it full and well with my experience as a kratom business owner. The FDA is responsible for the propaganda campaign against kratom. The FDA, it turns out, was responsible for the 2016 effort by the Drug Enforcement Agency to ban kratom, to add it to Schedule 1. They failed, thankfully. And meanwhile, they have approved drugs like fentanyl, for example, that is so hardcore and killing so many people, huge cause of death in the United States.
Yeah.
And we have this little innocent plant, kratom, that's simply the powderized leaves of a tree. And rather than spending their time getting fentanyl off the streets or making sure it's pure or, you know, preventing it from being imported illegally from China or just getting rid of it altogether, they're focused on this little plant. And they do these little propaganda games where they put out this press release and say there were 46 kratom-related deaths. And so just like COVID deaths, you're like, oh, well, let's go look at these kratom-related deaths. And you find that one of them is someone that was shot and killed and had kratom in their system. Somebody jumped out of a window and had kratom in their system. Mm. Much like the COVID stuff, right? Like there was a Florida story of a guy that died in a motorcycle accident and he was positive for COVID. And he ended up being added as a COVID death. What do you think about some of these statistics as far as the cases go? And they're always lowering the benchmark and stuff.
They're lowering the benchmark. They're creating new health conditions that are related to COVID. So the definition of the disease is getting bigger. And again, we're hiding behind, well, the science is changing. That's why this is happening.
But, yeah.
They're broadening the definition of the disease. The numbers are coming from the FDA and the CDC. So my position is that we should be skeptical of them and we should think critically about them. And we shouldn't just take them and say, well, the CDC says this is true. The World Health Organization says this is true. Therefore it is. I've read the stories that you have, man, where I've seen murders and suicides be counted as COVID related deaths. And they go back and they say, whoops, sorry about that.
Or
tests are counted twice. And we have to take another 2,000 off this total because of this. And so they've been caught with so many different mistakes. And you know what's interesting to me, John? These mistakes, when they get caught, have you ever seen a mistake where they underreport? It seems like all these mistakes that the government makes where they accidentally manipulated. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I won't use that word. They accidentally had the wrong numbers. They're always over.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them say, oh, we left out 6,000 people. We've got to increase the numbers.
No, and they don't ever like own up to it and say, maybe you shouldn't take it seriously, obviously.
Right.
I just thought of this here. I saw this today. Let me see if I can get this damn. They want me to subscribe, but I can't get past it.
While John's pulling that up, I'll jump on something here. He says that they don't often own their mistakes. That happens throughout history. I mean, the trans fat thing that I brought up with margarine, I mean, started clogging arteries. People started dying. That was after we were told it was healthier for us because it has less fat in it. The government never apologizes and says, we made a mistake 20 years ago. It may have killed your grandfather.
Yeah.
And we're really sorry about that. And here's why we made the mistake.
Yeah.
And here's what we're going to do to make sure it never happens again.
They don't often
admit their mistakes.
You know, everyone always talks about Sweden when it comes to COVID because they took a very laissez-faire, hands-off approach. And there was a lot of deaths that happened in Sweden, and a lot of it was attributed to sending COVID-positive patients to nursing homes, which is also what happened in the United States, in five states especially, all with Democrat governors. I'm not a partisan guy, but I always like to point that out because usually it's left liberals and Democrats that are all blaming Trump and stuff.
Sure.
But Sweden actually came out and admitted that mistake and said, we're sorry, that was bad public policy. Meanwhile, Cuomo is like blocking investigations into what that was all about. And an interesting stat came out a while back. I think it was Forbes. They pointed out that over 40% of the deaths of the now, I guess, over 200,000 in the United States were in nursing homes. And a significant portion of that 40% came from the five states that had that policy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 42% of the deaths come from like 0.16% of the overall population of the cases.
Yeah.
So that's not good. Here's the article that I found earlier. Just speaking of that, North Carolina reporting error. Fuels 200,000 COVID testing overcount.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just the tests, or was it positive here? I don't know, but either way,
only 200,000.
They're making mistakes here, and it's no good.
What's interesting for me, John, on the subject of COVID is I asked my friends on Facebook. I said, I want to give you a comparison. Picture two different people. One of them is living a really unhealthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They're smoking a couple packs of cigarette a day. They're binge drinking heavily on the weekends. Mm-hmm. They're not exercising. They're like living the worst possible lifestyle, mm-hmm. but they're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you've got someone who's living a really healthy lifestyle. They're exercising every day. They're getting their sleep. They're drinking their water. They're not smoking any cigarettes. They're not drinking any alcohol, mm-hmm. But they're not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Who do you think, I asked on Facebook, who do you think is more likely to get COVID? And the overwhelming majority of my friends on social media felt that the individual who's wearing the mask and living a really shitty lifestyle is less likely to get COVID. And it broke my heart, man. It really did, because people these days seem to have this mentality that a 99-cent mask that you can get at Walmart, a 49-cent mask that you can get at Walmart, is more important, at least with COVID, than your complex immune system.
Than your microbiome.
Holy cow, man. It's this mentality of, hey, do whatever you want to your body. Treat it like shit. Treat it bad. Drink whatever you want. Eat whatever you want. But use a mask, and it's going to protect you from COVID. It's kind of this American mentality that we've had for a long time of do whatever you want to your body, destroy it, but there's a pill for that.
Yeah.
And we're underestimating the power of our immune system. I like what you said earlier about the body has a way to heal itself. Mm-hmm. If I break my arm and the bone is broken right here, as long as it's set properly, my bone is going to heal.
Yeah.
If I cut my arm, I cut my leg, it's going to scab over. My body does this really cool thing and forms a scab in order to heal my leg. That's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Our body can heal itself from a disease, from COVID, from cancer, from crazy things, but we need to give it the right stuff in order to run on, in order for it to do what it wants to do, which is what it wants to heal. I love the analogy of a car. Car runs on gasoline, right? If I put a this size, about a bit of water in your gas tank of your car, your car's probably going to be fine, right? But if I put a gallon of water in your gas tank every single day, your car is eventually going to break down.
Yeah, or you put sugar.
Put sugar in it, sure, right? Because it's not meant to run on water. It's not meant to run on sugar, right?
Our bodies
aren't meant to run on these things. Uh-huh. And we break down over time too, not from one cigarette or just a little bit of water, right? Mm-hmm. But when we constantly put that garbage into our body, we break down. But when we break down, it's called diabetes. It's called obesity. It's called high blood pressure. It's called high cholesterol. It's called cancer. And so it's important to fuel our bodies the right way so that we can heal.
Yeah, I'm thinking of oil, too, as an analogy with the car, because our blood is a lot like the oil. It flows through the body. It cleanses. And when your blood gets dirty, it has all sorts of sugars and all sorts of toxins going through it. It's not going to be able to filter out everything for the body. And thankfully, like a car, changing the oil, you can do detoxes, right? And you can be more conscious of the consequences of what it is, because you literally are what you eat. Let me ask you this. Just one more thing on the COVID, like you brought up. I want to knock on wood too, because I'd hate to come down with COVID and spread it to my family, who's more concerned than I am, although they're really healthy. And so I keep trying to bang on them. Like, even though my father's an older gentleman, he is in really good shape. So I got some good genes, but he takes the natural health stuff really seriously. I've been banging on him for a decade, and he really started coming around several years ago. And
he
loves Dr. Mercola.
He's really conspiratorial
lately, which I really appreciate.
But
when people are like telling me that I'm killing people, because I started going out to restaurants as soon as they opened back up, and I was taking selfies trying to just encourage people, like, life goes on, we're gonna be okay.
You're a bad guy, you do that.
And people are like saying it's people like you that are gonna kill my sister. And I'm like, I don't even know your sister. Has she been around me or something? Does she go to the restaurants I go to? But I wanted to point out, and maybe this was arrogant of me, but I have a good feeling. I'm in tune with my body. I have a good feeling that if I were to come into contact with the virus or be exposed to the virus, I highly doubt that I would ever even produce such a viral load that I would be contagious to other people. Mm-hmm. I think that I would most definitely be asymptomatic. It would come and go, because I feel like I'm blessed. It's a lot of hard work too. It's not just I don't get the flu. That's what I was going to say. I don't ever get the flu. Neither do my kids. We just don't do the flu. We just don't do it. It's not part of our lives. We opted out of the flu. So I think if COVID were to come, and again, I'll eat my words too, and I'll definitely be doing a live stream from my phone in bed if I'm absolutely miserable and have some terrible experience, like some people are reporting.
Sure.
But the hard work, the dedication, the reading of the labels, the organic food, the trying to avoid stress – I can afford to exercise more is one area where I'm lacking. It's a lot of hard work. And like you said, you have the folks that are pounding the alcohol and the sugar and they're totally obese and they're trying to shame people for not wearing a mask. Meanwhile, we have like a lifetime. I say that it's hard work, but you know, it's just living life naturally. But I would like to eat dessert more often. I would like to pound more ice cream, you know. I like, it's like a little privilege that I afford myself sometimes because my body, I don't have sugar in my body hardly ever.
Right.
And when I do have sugar, I can feel it. You know, even if I have like a half a cup of ice cream or some chocolate, right? I like prefer the super dark chocolate, but it's, you know, we've done the hard work. We've paid attention. We've, you know, it's something that we're conscious of and there's a reason why, I mean, you probably hardly ever get sick, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, and everyone can have that too. It's not and, just,
and when I work with my health coaching clients, that's one of the things too, they'll say, hey, I lost 30, 40 pounds. And I haven't been sick in the last 6 or 7 months. And I usually, you know, get sick every 2 or 3 months. And so there's definitely a correlation there between our immune system and the food that we put in our body, for sure.
Well, what, so you, we're in the same camp where I do think that COVID is, SARS-CoV-2 is a real virus, whether it was made in a lab for sinister reasons or not. I do think that it's negatively affecting people. So what, have you done any changes as far as your vitamin supplementation or anything like that in order to beef up your immune system? Or
yeah.
Are you just already in a good spot or what's
I'm taking zinc, which I would take on and off before, but I'm taking it regularly now, not missing a day. Spending as much time, John, as possible outside. Vitamin D3 is absolutely crucial, not just for coronavirus, but just for your immune system in general, which is why, I mean, when you look at these government recommendations, right? Government is recommending that we stay locked down, we stay indoors, we don't go out a lot, right? They're not directly saying stay out of the sunlight, but by keeping people inside, not going out, they're getting less sunlight.
Yeah.
We know for a fact, it's settled science, that vitamin D in sunlight is good for your immune system, okay? Mm-hmm. So they're actually going against settled science when they're not suggesting we get in the sun, mm-hmm. when they're telling us to stay indoors, okay? What do we know about masks, okay? We know that masks decrease the amount of oxygen going into your lungs. Mm-hmm. We know this, okay? There's people with these videos out there where they put the little readers on people's fingers and they think that they've proven that, you know, less oxygen doesn't go in the lungs.
I've seen the opposite from other people doing the same test. So
absolutely.
Like, I don't know what to believe unless I did it myself.
Well, the studies are coming out now, especially if you're doing any sort of exercising, if you're breathing heavily throughout the day, if it's long-term. It's common sense, man. You put something in front of your mouth, you're going to get less oxygen coming in. But what do we know that every cell in our body needs? It needs oxygen. Mm-hmm. So whatever your health goals are out there, folks, if you want to lose weight, if you want to gain weight, if you want to get a better immune system, every cell in your body needs oxygen. So again,
it's pretty darn important.
I mean, you can go, how long can you go without water? I don't know, 3 or 4 days. How long can you go without food? Maybe a few weeks. You need air. You need oxygen, right? It's very critical. It is the most critical thing that every cell needs. And we're decreasing that, not by a ton, but by a little tiny bit, by wearing these masks. And so that's a second thing that they're doing there. They're giving us, they're suggesting we get less oxygen and they're suggesting we get less sunlight. Two things that are not good for our immune system. And then what else are they doing, John? Sanitize everything.
Yes.
Clorox, Lysol everything,
bleach
everything.
Hands all the time.
And this is nothing new. I mean, there's a lot of data about why that's bad. You can see a health tip on my website about the soap and hand sanitizer industry and how corrupt they are. The chemicals that are in soaps and hand sanitizers. I mean, the FDA itself just banned 28 different chemicals. But unfortunately, there's a revolving door. Every time they ban one of these chemicals, a new one comes along. It's absolutely sick and disgusting. And so that would be a third thing that the government is doing to suggest, you know, wash your hands very regularly, keep washing your hands, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-washing hands. But when people translate that to going and buying hand sanitizers that have these terrible ingredients in them, they're actually...
Hands a bad one.
Oh, absolutely. These ingredients are harming their immune systems. It's kind of counterproductive.
Yeah, and outside of the immune system, I've learned a lot as of late. My naturopath, Dr. Matthew Buckley, would always caution away from antibiotics. Like, I think I've taken antibiotics twice in the past 10 years or 15 years. And I've even resisted too when perhaps, people around me were like, take the freaking antibiotics. I got to be drinking my colloidal silver. But I learned a lot from him about the gut microbiome and this world of synergistic, just bacteria, just all living together and really benefiting the body. And a lot of the body's immune system is in the gut. And then the work of Dr. Zach Bush, MD, you familiar with this guy?
Yeah.
This guy's a boss.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot about the microbiome, and he ties it in with the soil and how the depleting of the soil and the monocropping, which for you conspiratorial folks was in large part brought to you by the Rockefeller Foundation in the mid 19th or 20th century, how because the food doesn't have that bacteria and that microbiome and even just existing in it and being around it and walking in it, it's made it so our gut microbiome isn't as healthy, which has led to a lot of disease. But there's also a microbiome on our hands and good bacteria on our hands.
Yep.
And so when you're constantly drenching those hands with alcohol, I don't like the alcohol. In fact, it dries my hands out. We were selling this early on, which you alluded to earlier. It's mainly colloidal silver. It's a hand sanitizer. It's mainly colloidal silver. It has a little bit of alcohol and some peppermint oil. But this has antiviral, antibacterial, antimicrobial properties, and it's not going to kill the good bacteria that's out there.
Yeah. Another example of that, if you go to tonyshealthtips.com, you can see olive leaf is an herbal example of that, and you can read some of the science behind olive leaf. But same deal. It's an antibiotic. It kills bacteria, but isn't as harsh on the good bacteria that we need. Super, super important.
Yeah. We're going to take questions from the audience, and then we're going to go over a few tips here. But this balloon says, carnivore diet is quite nutritious. In 1 month, you'll get more nutrients than a vegan ever will in a lifetime. What's your thoughts on the carnivore diet?
I'm not familiar with something called the carnivore diet. Are they just talking about the concept of eating meat in general? Or is there...
It's where you only eat meat.
Oh, gotcha.
I've had some people close to me anecdotally that have had profound results. Their acne cleared up. They felt the best in their life. It's not for me. I feel like when I don't have enough fresh food, my body's like, you need to make a juice. You need to get some fresh food.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I mean, I love meat. I'm definitely not vegan.
Right.
But
So I haven't done a lot of research on the carnivore diet. I'm just hearing about it for the first time today. But my initial reaction is there's some stuff that you're going to be missing big time. Just off the top of my head, like electrolytes that you might find in fruit and things like that. Where are you going to be getting those? You know what I mean? In meat. There's a lot of nutrients that you're not going to be getting in just meat that I'm a little concerned about. So I'm not anti-meat. So I'm a lot less anti-meat than I used to be. I was vegan for 8 years. For 8 years, I was vegan and I was raw vegan for 3 of those 8 years. I'd have to do more research on it, but my initial response is there's some stuff you're going to be missing if you're only eating meat. I wonder how strict it is. Some diets, you know, like we hear plant-based, then it's like mostly eating plants.
That's
and a little bit of meat, you know? So is this carnivore diet 100, like you cannot eat a
it's 100%.
Piece of...
I mean, people can customize how they want.
Right.
The people that I spoke with, it's 110%.
Yeah, I just got a lot of questions. Are you supplementing while you're doing it? But my initial reaction is I'm not a huge fan of that idea.
Yeah. Another Tony here. Tony watches closely. He's watching this video closely. We appreciate your viewership. What about vinegar? Is that a good sanitizer?
I've heard of people using apple cider vinegar as a cleaner in their homes,
yeah,
for countertops.
We use it on the toilets.
Yeah, things of that nature. To be honest, I haven't studied vinegar close enough to know how strong of an antibacterial or antiviral properties it has, so I don't want to give any recommendations on that today.
It's better than alcohol, I would say. That's just totally destroying things. You know, another thing about the
virus... It's safer. I'll say that. It's definitely safer.
Yeah.
But I don't know how powerful it is. Yeah.
Well, I guess alcohol is natural too. Not the methanol stuff. One of the things that bothers me so much about all these mandates and the masks and the locking down of the economy is that I did a video on this yesterday, how there's this divergence between the mainstream public and they're getting more extreme. And then like we quacky natural health types and anarchists and stuff, there's this divergence, but there's a whole school of thought where it's like, oh, okay, there's a virus. This is what Zach Bush says, that the viruses are like genetic updates. And his theory is that this virus came about in Wuhan precisely because that's one of the most toxic, polluted with air pollution places in the entire world. And he also points out that the virus really had some devastating effects in areas with high air pollution, like Northern Italy and New York City, for example.
Mm.
And he believes that it's a genetic update that came about, evolved, that is trying to update the human genome in order for us to be more able to handle air pollution.
Mm.
And you know, he talks about how many viruses we have in our body at any given time, and that without viruses, we wouldn't even be humans, right? They helped us in our evolutionary path. And so there's this whole school of thought where it's like, okay, there's a virus here. Well, maybe we should go ahead and do the herd immunity approach, and a virus isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? Now, it can be bad, of course, if you have pre-existing conditions, if you have obesity, heart disease, or whatever, but that just underscores the importance overall, which the media never talks about, of why we ought to have good health and good health practices in general.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And by the way, John keeps referencing Zach Bush. He's a triple board certified doctor. I don't know that there's more than a handful of those that exist on Earth. I mean, he's a really impressive dude. Definitely recommend people check him out.
He's the man.
He's pretty impressive for sure.
Some of Derek Bros's viewers are gonna be like, what's with that Illuminati triangle? Conscious resistance. Just giving you a hard time there.
But yeah, it's fascinating. All the theories out there on this topic are absolutely fascinating. You can go so many different ways with them. It's very intriguing for sure. I mean, the dude's pretty young for a triple board certified doctor. I don't know how long he was in school for to pull that off, but it's pretty damn impressive.
He's all about it. One more thing on COVID. I am following the advice of Jack Spearco of the Survival Podcast. He recommends, and he confirmed this with some doctors as well. So, of course, the zinc, but also something called Q-Certain, which helps the zinc to absorb into your body's cells. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, hardcore vitamin C and vitamin D. I'm still taking this Tangy Tangerine. I don't remember the Brave New Books days. This is one of our bestsellers for a while, but it is just chock full. It's got Dr. Joel Wallach. And when it comes to the vitamins, for example, with vitamin C, it has 2,083% of the daily value. And of course, like the food pyramid somebody pointed out earlier, the whole daily value percentage that the FDA and the USDA has is total bogus BS. Right. It's not nearly enough of the supplementation for a lot of the stuff. Vitamin B12 is 16,667% of the recommended daily value.
Nice.
And the D3 is 250%.
So. Yeah. Get this guy in here.
What's this guy? Anthony Mann.
Yeah.
I've had acute necrotizing ulcerative gingivitis. It is crippling, and a lot of people are getting bad oral health because of these masks.
So this is kind of funny that our first two guests were inviting on. One was Tony, and one is Anthony, and my name is Tony as well. But Anthony Mann, go to tonyshealthtips.com and look at my article on oil pulling. Tons of new research. I'm talking last 2 or 3 years about how powerful oil pulling is. For our oral health. And so it's that article right there that John's pulling up right now. Really, really good data, Anthony. I highly recommend checking it out. Oil pulling is fascinating stuff. It's literally the idea of putting oil, sesame, I prefer coconut oil, in our mouth, swishing it around in our mouth for 20 minutes. Do not swallow it because it will be filled with toxins. Do not spit it down your drain because it will clog your drain. Spit it out outside, spit it in your garbage, etc. But do this 20 minutes a day, and you just ask your dentist at that point if your gums look like they're getting better. It's really powerful stuff. You just got to stick with it. But oil pulling is amazing. Tons of research. And if you go down, John, if you can pull my page back up, if you don't mind. Every one of my health tips at the very bottom, I try to have a sources section of all the sources, all the studies, all the peer-reviewed journals of where I'm getting my information from. And so that's at the bottom of each of these pages. And so you can read the data yourself on how powerful oil pulling is.
Biofilm. Cool. All right. Well, let's keep on coming with the questions, guys. And we're going to hit you with some of these tips that we pulled up earlier here before we wrap up. So if you want to just give us a little overview of this one here, we were talking about hand sanitizers. What did this investigation find about soaps and hand sanitizers?
Yeah, so triclosan is an ingredient that I'm looking at my notes here. It was 2014. Minnesota was the first state to ban this soap and hand sanitizer ingredient called triclosan. But when they did, just like with my partially hydrogenated oil example earlier, they said, we agree this stuff's bad. We're banning it today in 2014. But we're going to allow it to stay in the product until 2017. So why does it take 3 years to phase out something that is really harmful, right? But triclosan is just one example. And I give other examples on the health tips of these ingredients. And what's happening is there's a revolving door. So we take triclosan out, and now there's a new unproven, untested ingredient in these products that is staying in there for a long period of time, and then science will catch up to it 20 years later. It'll then be removed.
Sometimes they just change the name like they did with high fructose corn.
Exactly. It's true, man. But meanwhile, while that's happening, we're all the guinea pigs for these new chemicals, which is concerning. Another great example of it, John, is with aluminum in deodorants. Okay. I'm going to hit you guys with some data that is fascinating to me. Okay. In the 1970s, all right, think about a couple things here, folks. Think about your breast, okay? Think about how close your breast is to your armpit. Your armpit is a drain. Toxins come out through the lymphatic system in your sweat, okay? If they can't come out because we're putting a metal aluminum deodorant under our arms, those toxins are going to accumulate in body fat. This is a fact. We know toxins accumulate in body fat. The closest spot of body fat to our armpit is the breast. So this is why a lot of people are hypothesizing that perhaps there's a link between breast cancer and deodorant. So on our breast, there's four quadrants of it. Okay. One, two, three, four. The upper outer quadrant, which is closest to the breast. You'd think with these four quadrants, there'd be like 25% of cancers here, 25 here, 25 here, 25 here, right? The majority of cancers are happening in this upper outer quadrant. And some people are saying, well, it's just the fatty makeup. It's just that's the way the breast is built, right? But what's happening, John, listen to this, guys. In the 70s, 31% of cancers were in this upper outer quadrant. In the 90s, 61% are happening. Something environmentally. Maybe it's not deodorant. I'm pretty sure it is. But something environmentally is causing the majority of cancers to start moving from other parts of the breast up to the outer quadrant. And what happened, John, is in 1977, aluminum was actually in deodorant sprays. People forget. Stick deodorants were not that popular in the 60s and 70s. Most people used sprays back then, okay? And so it wasn't until the late 70s when the government banned the same ingredient in the sprays, left it in the sticks. So people switched to the sticks in the 70s. And ever since then, since these sticks have started to get popular, and if you look at any country on my website, on this health tip, I'll show you examples in other countries as well. There's one in England, I mentioned, and there's one in Scotland. You follow the introduction of these stick deodorants or aluminum in and of itself in deodorants in these countries, and you suddenly see the cancer rates follow. Wow. So I think this is really important for anybody, especially recovering from breast cancer, or if you've got a family history of breast cancer, get the aluminum out of your deodorants, folks. This is so important. My old website had over 200 health tips on it. I called this my most important website, my most important health tip, because aluminum and deodorants is a real problem.
Wow. Yeah. And again, we can't rely on the government to do the right thing in these instances. So that's why personal responsibility and education is so important. That's why your website, TonysHealthTips.com, is such a valuable resource. I just want to plug my buddy's company here real quick for those that are looking for an alternative, or maybe you that are watching along, you're hip to the New World Order conspiracy and how the government is harmful and the technocratic state, but you aren't well versed in the whole natural health world. So if you're using the aluminum deodorant, that's a great switch that you could do. Super simple, no risk at all. But this is what I use personally, Silver Botanicals. They have a deodorant. It's mainly essential oils, and then there's some colloidal silver in there that really goes in and helps with the smell and stuff, which, I mean, at the end of the day, the natural scent isn't that, and you know, not the big of a deal as well, but this keeps me fresh. And I tried a lot of the other stuff, like the Toms and the Jasons, but I would notice that my sheets and my bed would start to smell funky. And it wasn't like a BO funk. It was this weird mix funk. But this Silver Botanical stuff, it just keeps me fresh.
Yeah, and a lot of these natural sounding deodorants still have aluminum in them, so you really got to be careful and read the label. I saw one the other day, the seventh generation brand. You look in the back, and it's like, we don't have this, we don't have this. It looks real natural. You actually have to peel the label and look in the back, and aluminum is one of the ingredients in the back.
A hidden label.
Which is a real problem as well. It's concerning for sure.
What's your view on hydroxychloroquine? This guy's saying, I wonder who's making the money off of chloroquine since the people that created it were murdered a couple of years ago.
Haven't heard anything about people being murdered. That's really interesting. My thoughts on it are, I personally know people who have had friends who their doctor has cured them using chloroquine with zinc, folks.
Yeah.
This is the important part with zinc, because a lot of the anti-chloroquine studies, just look at the methodology, they're not using zinc.
Yeah.
So it's funny that the anti-chloroquine studies that don't use zinc fail, and the chloroquine studies that show that it is effective do have zinc in them. So someone shows you a study with chloroquine failing, you check that methodology and see if they use zinc.
Also check to see what the dose is that they're given and how often. There was one that didn't have zinc, and they were doing like 2 to 4 times what this regimen that people found success with, the hydroxychloroquine and the zinc as well, and the Z-Pack as well.
Yeah.
But as far as people making money off of it, from what I understand, hydroxychloroquine isn't patented anymore. So unlike remdesivir, which is the steroid that people are having success fighting back some of the COVID symptoms, and unlike the upcoming vaccine, the money was already made off of hydroxychloroquine, the pharmaceutical, decades ago. So now it's readily available. It's super affordable. And I think it's painfully obvious why there is such an effort to propagandize and put misinformation and disinformation. Part of it is Trump derangement symptom, because Trump promoted it. Maybe a better strategy for Trump would have been like, we got to stay away from this hydroxychloroquine stuff.
A lot more people would have been on board.
Media would have flipped out on
it. Yeah, for sure. One thing I got to add, John, I know we're getting short on time. This whole idea of deodorant, this and not putting aluminum under your arm, it's not just about the smell of your body and not putting toxins in your body. Your armpit, believe it or not, is a huge part of your immune system. And so when we tie this back into COVID and how you can stay healthy, folks, your lymphatic system runs throughout your whole body. Your lymphatic system carries lymph. It's kind of like your circulatory system, but instead of carrying blood, it carries lymph. And the lymph is containing your toxins, your viruses, your bacteria, your toxic chemicals. And it is literally carrying them out through the armpit and whenever you sweat, groin area, even your arms and stuff, right? And it's carrying that stuff out. So if you're not allowing your body, your lymphatic system is part of your immune system, you're not allowing it to do what it wants to do and get rid of those chemicals, you're disrupting your immune system in the process. And one thing I really need to add real quick is, when we were talking earlier about these government recommendations, I gave 3 ways that the government's official recommendations are actually harming us. Mm-hmm. Here's a 4th. Your lymphatic system needs movement.
Yep.
Okay. So your circulatory system, which is run by the heart, has a pump and that pushes the blood, right? Our lymphatic system has no pump. It's reliant on movement. So we have to be moving. This is another reason why exercise is good, not just to build muscles, not just to help aerobic activity and help our lungs, et cetera, but movement actually helps push this lymph throughout our system and helps support the lymphatic system. Yep. And so we need movement to boost our immune system and stay healthy. But when we're locked down, not only not getting vitamin D, but also not moving, that is a recipe for sickness and actually harming the immune system in the long term.
Yeah, it's like a perfect storm of all sorts of things that we ought not to be doing when there's a health crisis.
Yeah.
There's lymphatic massage people do as well to get that flowing.
Yeah.
I think one of the, I don't know what it's called, but when you jump on a trampoline.
Rebounding up and down, dry skin brushing, drinking lemon water in the morning. There's a lot of things that you can do to help your lymphatic system. But number one, you can do all those things John and I just mentioned, but if your drains are clogged, you're going to have a problem. So again, tonyshealthtips.com. Just look in the search bar for deodorant or go to the health tips section. It's really important info.
He's passionate about the deodorant, guys. It's a big one.
And I'm not selling any either, by the way.
No, Best way to help the body remove aluminum. I know spirulina and chlorella are good at detoxing heavy metals. Do you got any advice on that one?
Yeah, cilantro and parsley in juice form are good at getting metals out, for sure. So those would be my top two right there, cilantro and parsley.
Right on. Yeah, and it's not just about ceasing the input of something into your body, but a lot of times it'll stick around for quite some time, so you got to focus on the detox as well. I did a paleo diet for a whole month, and in that time just really cut out all sorts of stuff. That's when I discovered that I have a gluten intolerance. Before, I would just eat gluten all the time, and I always had this redness on my face, which still pops up from time to time, but it would be really inflamed. And I thought that I had rosacea like all throughout high school. I was just like, I just have a red face. And so I stopped eating gluten, and all of a sudden my skin cleared up and I felt more vibrant and healthy and didn't have, like, I used to have these little just discomfort aches kind of just throughout my body. And when I stopped eating the gluten, which I discovered from paleo diet, then all of a sudden I had more energy and felt more awake. I avoid gluten now, but also eat like fried food and stuff. I don't eat bread or pizza or anything like that. But whenever I have fried food that has a little bit of the wheat and or the flour, then I can definitely feel the flare up and kind of feel like my nose gets a little drained. So,
well, John, you're a professional, because what you're doing is you're taking us full circle, because we started off this episode talking about how I got into this, you know, skin stuff with acne. And now we're ending here talking about skin stuff as well. When you mentioned, you know, the redness on your face, and I want people to remember that your skin is an organ and it gives you warning signs. And often, whether it's acne, whether it's rosacea, whether it's eczema, your skin is telling you something is happening inside your body. So that's why I always say acne is the best thing that ever happened to me, because it told me that my liver was not functioning properly. And so listen to your skin. It is trying to tell you a story.
Yeah. Listen to your body in general, your skin, all your organs, the feelings that you get. When you can get in tune with that body, you can, with your body, you can essentially be your own doctor, right? And you don't need to rely on expert advice. And also, this whole authority complex, I think, is in a large part why the powers that be have such a controlling hold over the masses, is because people have given up their belief in themselves. They've given up that internal authority and they've outsourced it to doctors or to the scientists or to the mainstream media or to the professor at the college. And so when you can start to get in tune with your body, then you can really be a valuable resource for yourself and find out what those changes are.
Yeah, another really great example of that is the birthing industry, right? I think a lot of women have been, this is big in a lot of feminist circles, a lot of the women have been disempowered to believe you need a doctor, you need an emergency room in order to give birth, not realizing that, you know, there's midwives out there, you can do this on your own, but we're so brainwashed to thinking that giving birth is an emergency event no matter what. And take precautions, have a hospital close by, don't get me wrong. But we've been disempowered to think that we need someone else to do something naturally.
Yep.
We need someone else to give birth. We need someone else to avoid COVID. We need something else, a mask to avoid COVID. We need someone else to tell us what's healthy and what's not. But like you said, man, we've got these tools and this knowledge available to us for sure.
Yeah. We did a home birth for both of our kids. I literally delivered the babies. It was so super powerful for myself and for their mother. Like, wow. And don't need the doctor. You don't need, it's not an emergency situation. You know, it can turn into it, but 99 times out of 100, it's not an emergency. And oftentimes when we give up our power to especially Western allopathic medicine, they're so interventive. And it's these interventions in general that, like a mask or vaccine that, or deodorant with aluminum, that throw off that natural balance, that natural cycle, that homeostasis, right? The synergy. And when it comes to birthing, like whenever Pitocin is injected or whenever an epidural takes place, it dramatically increases the occurrence of C-sections and all sorts of negative outcomes. Yep. So
The Business of Being natural. Born is a great documentary. The Business of Being Born talks about exactly what John and I are talking about, if you guys are intrigued about this subject, for
sure. Cool. All right. Well, the website is tonyshealthtips.com. Beautiful website. I know you just updated it, so people definitely go check that out, tonyshealthtips.com. You can contact Tony. And do you have an email newsletter or anything?
Not quite yet, but the best way to get in touch with me is really on Instagram. And I'll be completely frank and transparent. I've got a pretty solid following on Facebook. My Instagram and Twitter accounts are pathetic, and I would love to get more followers. So that's the best way to get in touch with me, at Tony's Health Tips on Instagram, at Tony's Health Tips on Twitter. Those are kind of the top ways that you can get in touch with me, ask me questions, etc. I post a lot of my health tips to Instagram as well, at Tony's Health Tips. We'd love to hear from you guys for sure.
Cool, man. Yeah, check out the site, tonyshealthtips.com, at Tony's Health Tips. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, John, one last thing real quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So I had a friend reach out on Facebook to a post, and she said, I'm looking at homeschooling and unschooling. And so I know this guy here, John, known him for a few years. And so I tagged you and I said, hey, you should talk to John. He knows a lot about this subject. Mm-hmm. And she goes, she lives in Connecticut. She says, you know John Bush? I just saw a Facebook video of that guy.
All right.
And so it was kind of cool, because it's a good reminder, man, that you're doing a lot of really good things. And even when you don't realize it, you never would have known that story if I hadn't have shared that with you. But just by having your presence, and I know you've been at this game a long time, waking people up, opening a lot of eyes. And so I just wanted to share that with you, because even when you don't see it, it's happening.
Cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, man.
I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate everybody in the comments and everybody following along. Again, go check out tonyshealthtips.com. This has been the Live Free Now show, bringing the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy, emphasis on the healthy life. Check us out at livefreenow.show and subscribe to the podcast feed. Peace. Thanks, Tony. We're out.